Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Is the internet as we know it coming to an end? And will the new internet have different speeds for websites based upon how much they're willing to pay? That's what many fear is happening with the new anti-net neutrality rules that are being proposed by the FCC. Those rules are under attack, and today the FCC Chairman Tom Wheeler addressed the Congress's Energy and Commerce Committee.
I've consistently said that there is only one internet. There's not a fast internet and a slow internet. There's not special services internet and non. There is one internet. And when the consumer buys access to the internet, they are buying access to the full internet.
But do industry leaders believe Chairman Wheeler? They say the rules that are being talked about now change the basic nature of the internet. What do you think? Are you worried, concerned about the future of the internet and the end of net neutrality? Call in at 210-614-8980, 614-8980. We're joined to talk about this topic. Russ Coma. He is money and politics reporter for OpenSecrets.org, and that's which is part of the Center for Responsive Politics, and Laura Moy. She's a staff attorney at Public Knowledge. Welcome to The Source.
Thank you so much for having us.
So, Laura, tell me about the rules that are being proposed. What's on the table?
So that's a great quote from Chairman Wheeler that you just played. And Chairman Wheeler has said some really great things about believing that we should not have a divided internet. But the rules that he has proposed are rules that would require a minimum level of access for all content to the internet. But then beyond that minimum level, companies would be able to pay for greater internet access, for faster service. And the reason that consumer groups like Public Knowledge are concerned about this is because we think that would essentially create an internet with a fast lane and a slow lane. And the internet as we know it would basically be relegated to the slow lane. And any innovation that happens on top of that would likely only be able to get into the fast lane if it were created and promoted by companies that can already afford it. So what's great about the internet is that companies big and small, and even independent creators right now can get their content out there through the internet, and we're concerned that in a fast lane, slow lane internet, only the haves already would be able to get their content out there, not the have-nots.
Our phone lines are open if you want to join the conversation talking about the future of the internet and what the end of net neutrality would mean for that. The number is 210-614-8980. I want to get Andrew in on this. Andrew, thanks for calling in. You're on The Source. Go ahead.
All right. Thank you, David. Yes, if net neutrality were to die, and it's very, the possibility is very real that it will right now, the flow of thought and free information will be severely threatened, if not completely eradicated. Because right now, the internet is open and it's free. Anybody can say anything they want, and it won't be blocked, it won't be censored, it'll be out there for anybody to see. So it's a serious danger to our Constitution.
All right, Andrew, you sound very concerned. Thank you for calling in. So, Laura, Andrew, he's torn up about this. Are his concerns justified? And I think we lost Laura. So, Russ, let me ask you, you're the money and politics reporter for OpenSecrets.org. You're looking at the amount of money that's being spent right now in Washington, D.C., a lobbyist for the big telecommunications companies. What is happening on that front?
Well, all of the companies that are involved, all of the companies and the big companies in the telecom industry, I mean, they spend a lot of money on lobbyists. They spend a lot of money on campaign finance, making contributions, or their PACs make contributions to candidates' campaigns. And there's a lot of merger talks right now, which is also sort of playing into the what's going on at the FCC. I mean, a couple of these big companies are talking about getting together, and there's a lot of lobbying and a lot of talking about that. And I think that also goes to this issue as well, because, you know, Laura was talking about the haves and have-nots, and there's a possibility that some of the haves might be getting significantly better or bigger. They'll be having a lot more than what they already have. And so there'll be a further consolidation of the market. And I think that especially, it's always an issue, but especially when you start talking about net neutrality and haves and have-nots, that becomes something that's become a hot topic in Washington and a big expense for lobbyists and for people in Washington.
So do these big telecommunications companies, AT&T, Verizon, Google, do they see this toll lane for fast lane for internet? Is that going to be a big payday for them?
You know, I think it depends. You know, and Laura might have a better answer if you get her back. But I think it depends a little bit on what part of the industry they're in and what they control and what part of the infrastructure they control. And for example, you know, Comcast is a company that controls a lot of the infrastructure, and that's something that we see them lobbying on. We see them lobbying to control the infrastructure. We see them lobbying to acquire more infrastructure. And so I think some companies will be at an advantage and some companies will be at a disadvantage. And among the big players like the Googles and the Verizons and the AT&Ts and the Comcasts, you know, they've got a lot of resources at hand to make their case. I don't think that there's necessarily the same resources available to smaller companies, to consumers, to obviously companies that haven't even been created yet. And so I think that there's a lot of concern about the way things are going in Washington right now.
So, Laura, you're back on the line, right?
Yes, I am here. Thank you.
And so is this a money grab by the big telecommunications companies? Is that why they're pushing for this?
I think it is, yes. I think, you know, cable industry's own studies have shown that there's no delay in service in the last mile to the consumer's house. So the delay that they're talking about, the congestion, is something that it almost seems like they want to create and then get paid to fix. So an illustration of this, we can see an illustration in this in the recent deal between Netflix and Comcast. Comcast had been demanding that Netflix pay additional money to compensate for the supposed congestion on their network. And once Netflix caved to Comcast demands, Netflix performance instantly increased by 65%. So there was no need for Comcast to actually make physical upgrades to the network, no real expenses, and consumers didn't get any discount after that, even though Netflix was supposedly then paying some part of the expense of content delivery. So Comcast essentially ended up getting paid twice. They got Netflix payments, and they also got paid by customers, by their own customers, who really didn't see any discount to themselves.
So what you're describing right now is we don't have net neutrality today, that apparently Comcast is able to decide who to choke back and who gets the grease.
Right. I think that's true, and I think it seems that the FCC is moving in the right direction. Chairman Wheeler, that great quote that you played by Chairman Wheeler. Wheeler has said some really great things about.
Okay, so I'm going to get back into that. I got to take this quick break, but stand by. We're talking about net neutrality. If it ends, will it kill the internet? We invite your calls. Number is 210-614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Events that are happening right now in these recent days could shape the nation's media landscape for many years to come. Right now, the FCC is looking at new rules that critics say could threaten net neutrality, if net neutrality even exists today. Also, we're looking at these mega mergers. The telecommunications giant AT&T. They're agreeing to buy satellite television operator DirecTV for about $50 million. This comes just after the Comcast announced its plans to merge with Time Warner Cable. And so we're talking about that. What does that mean for us? What does it mean for how much we're going to have to pay for these products, and whether or not we're going to have to pay extra to get good speeds on the internet if there's going to be a second class for the internet? You know, so the number is 210-614-8980. 8980 if you want to join the conversation. Our guest right now, Russ Coma, he is a money and politics reporter at opensecrets.org, and Laura Moy, staff attorney at Public Knowledge. Let's get a caller in on the conversation. Todd has called in. Todd, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for having me on. I just want to make one quick comment, is that this is another myopic money grab, as you stated earlier, the money grab part anyway. What this does with the fast lane versus slow lane is it tramples small content creators, the next generation, the next industry, and keeps them out of an open market. And one question I have is why are there not any investigations to a violation of antitrust acts?
Okay, Todd, thanks for your question. Laura Moy?
I think that this is, you're asking why the lack of net neutrality is not an antitrust concern. I think it is broadly an antitrust concern. It may not be a technical violation of the antitrust laws, but I do think that your concern that you're voicing about this trampling small content creators is exactly the concern with a future of the internet that where we don't have net neutrality, right? Because as we said before, if we have a fast lane and a slow lane, the only people who can pay for the fast lane access are the big companies, those who already have the money to do so, and small content creators are just no longer going to pay for that. So small content creators will be able to provide their content to customers like you and me at a minimum service level, but who knows how good that minimum service level is going to be. The FCC itself doesn't even know how to define it.
So looking at the way you're talking about innovation, how not having by ending net neutrality, it'll put a stamp on end innovation. I mean, how does that work? I mean, how would that happen, Laura?
Right. So do you remember the internet in 1998?
I'm still trying to download some stuff from 1998, so yes.
Right. The internet of GeoCities pages, no streaming video, just a vastly different internet than what we see today. Now, if the internet service that you had at that time, which was probably, 1998, I don't know, but think back to the time when you had dial-up service and you had to hook up a modem to your phone line and dial into the internet. Now, imagine if the speed of internet that you had at that time stagnated at that time. And the only way that you could get faster service, the type of service that you would need to get things like streaming video and rich websites, if the only way that you could get that is if it were paid for by companies who could afford it, what do you think would happen? It's just there's all of this innovation that happens on the internet that, as Todd pointed out, is brought by small content creators. And if you limited the innovation environment to just the big companies, you probably wouldn't see a lot of the advancements that we've seen in the last 15 years, last 20 years on the internet. So that's what we're sort of looking at moving forward. There are all of these, as others have said, we'll never know what isn't developed as a result of bad laws here.
Yeah, I've seen the comparison made that trying to recall Google Video, that it was kind of clunky, didn't work very well. It was the best way to get video up on the internet before YouTube. YouTube showed up and it blew Google Video away, so Google had to buy YouTube. But had everything been encased into Google, like one big provider, one big guy who had control of things, then they never would have needed, they may not have had that leap in being able to provide better video.
Right. That's a great example. And today we may just have Google Video and we wouldn't even know what video could be because we would never have seen YouTube.
And all those really cat videos would never have been made available.
Right. Imagine all of the wonderful cat videos we would have.
Right. So our phone lines are open. The number is 210-614-8980. John has called in. Let's get John on the air. You're on the air, John. Go ahead.
Hi. Yes. All I wanted to call and say was that we're paying for a certain speed already. Let's say whether it be anywhere from 6 to 12 meg to, 100 meg, whatever. you're paying for that service to get you across at that certain speed to the servers, wherever you're going, Netflix, Hulu Plus, wherever you're going to go. You retrieve the data, and it comes back to you at that speed. I don't understand why they're trying to make a slow or fast section when you're paying for a certain speed already. Shouldn't you be getting it back and forth anyway?
A great point, John. Appreciate that. Laura Moy?
Mm-hmm.
Laura, can you?
One is that, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Okay. One is that I think that that's the minimum that you pay for, right? So you can actually get service beyond above that speed. So you could imagine a situation where, let's say, you know, as I said before, imagine services that require even a faster speed than what you're already used to. So when we used to have just websites but no streaming video, all of a sudden streaming video came along and you needed a much, much higher speed. So imagine if the speed that you had then that you were used to having were the minimum that you were able to get, but the only way that you could get streaming videos if the company paid for it. So it would still be above the minimum, but only the company could pay to have their information streamed to you at that rate. So in other words, right now, you're used to the Internet as you see it. You're used to it. You pay for that speed. But what if there is some great innovation that happens, some new types of rich web content that suddenly require an even higher speed of traffic?
The holograms.
Right. Yes. Sure. That would be above the minimum level that you require, but you may not be able to get to that minimum to that speed unless the company were paying for it.
Okay. So let me ask Russ Cuomo about these mergers and how much money is being kicked around Washington, D.C. right now. And I've seen some amazing numbers. The top companies that are paying for lobbyists in the industry, National Cable and Telecommunications Association, like $19 million. Google is in that range. Also AT&T, Verizon, Comcast. They're paying millions and millions of dollars for lobbyists up there. And the lobbyists are supposed to help make these mergers happen. Is that how that works?
Well, I mean, I think that they're paying the lobbyists for a lot of things. I mean, they're paying the lobbyists. When we look at the lobbying disclosure records, you know, we see that Comcast has already been spending this year on antitrust issues. You know, the question, an earlier question, is why haven't there been antitrust investigations? Because they've got lawyers and lobbyists who are talking to people who might be investigating those things and are trying to assure them that there's no need for an investigation. And yeah, I mean, there's a lot of money. The National Cable Telecommunications Association spent $19.8 million last year. Comcast spent $18.8 million. That's, I think, the seventh most out of something like 4,200 companies that we track. AT&T was $15.9 million. And so, you know, they're lobbying about antitrust. They're lobbying the FCC on issues like net neutrality, and I think that like a part of the issue here, and part of the reason why that there's a lot of angst about this from the public is there's concern that the organizations that are supposed to be fairly adjudicating these issues and that are supposed to be, you know, the FCC has to make a hard decision about you know, in internet bandwidth and how it gets used and whether or not people should be charged with it extra. There's concern that they're not making those decisions fairly, or they're not making those decisions taking into account the needs of consumers, that they're only thinking about the needs of those big companies. And I think that, you know, the National Cable and Telecommunications Association is a great example. Tom Wheeler, who's the chairman of the FCC, from 1976 to 1984, he was the president of the National Cable Television Association. And from 1992 to 2004, he was the president of the Cellular Telecom and Internet Association.
So he was a lobbyist.
He was, I'm not sure if he was a registered lobbyist. I don't think we have any records of that, but he was the head of a trade association that makes most of its business lobbying. So he's, you know, I mean, I think that's one of the concerns.
So he has a definite point of view about the business end of telecommunications. And he's looking more, he's very sympathetic to the way those companies are operated.
Well, I think if you ask him, he says that he's, you know, been able to put all that aside, and I think that there's always an ongoing debate when you reach these really technical issues that there's few people who know the issue as well as the guy who used to work in the industry. The question is he able to put that stuff aside? And you know, it has been a couple of years since he was with these trade associations, but I think that's the question being raised. And when you look at how much money is being spent, when you look at how many former FCC employees now work for Comcast or work for AT&T, and the relationships between the companies who are being regulated and the people who are making the decision, whether it's an antitrust decision, whether it's the FCC's decision about net neutrality, you know, I think it raises questions, and I think that's a lot of what's driving popular concern about this issue.
So with these mergers, are we looking at people who are like content generators becoming also merging with content, the providers, that the networks?
Well, I think that's one of the things that's gotten so complicated. And when we look at a company like Comcast, they own NBC. They generate content. They also own the...
Well, how is that any different from when the old movie studios owned the theaters and the court said they had to break up?
I think that's one of the questions being raised. And I mean, when we are trying to figure out what are they spending their money on in Washington...
And what's good for the consumer.
...is a challenge. Right. And I think that those are the questions that are being raised right now.
All right. And we're out of time. But thank you so much for giving us a briefing on where we stand today. I want to thank both our guests talking about what's happening with the Internet and net neutrality. I'm David Martin Davies. This is The Source on KSTX. Thank you so much for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. David Martin Davies is executive producer and host. Paul Flabb is the show's producer. Management and oversight comes from VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.